Speaking of Paoli and down there in Orange County, my great friend and the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. You had a little weekend down that way. You got out of there just in time. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Glass. I am excellent. It's the start of another terrific week here at the Chamber of Commerce, so life is good. Yeah, spent a little time in beautiful French Lick and West Baden over the weekend. It's one of my favorite places to go, especially during summertime, and go down there with the family, and we watched a little bit of the women's golf tournament down there as well, too. That was fun. That was actually my first time at the Pete Dye course.
What'd you think of that?
Been down to French Lick so many times and never been up there.
Well, you got to drive up the hill to get there. You need a gondola just to get up to the top of that. Incredible views, incredibly difficult golf course. But yeah, just being able to see
the pros make it look easy, though. I think the winner on Sunday after four rounds was 15 under. And, you know, you see them out there and they hit shots and it's like, wow, it's just unbelievable to watch those players do their thing out there.
The vistas are incredible. How they made a golf course up there is just as incredible with all the ravines and fall offs and all the wind that blows and oh my, 8,100 yards. Who in their right mind would do anything, such as that. Well, I'm glad you had a great weekend, and I'm glad you had good weather and got out of there before anything happened, and hopefully the damage down there wasn't too badly. But I have to ask you, that's what everybody would want to ask you, the big dome at West Baden is all put back together right after the storms previously, a little bit earlier in the summer.
Correct, yeah. We made sure to stop in. That's a must-see every time you go down there. It's we've got to go, you know, do pictures and all of that stuff and the beautiful dome. So they've got it back to its original glory and luster, and a lot of people over there enjoying the views and the dome and just, you know, everything going on in that part of the state. It's always a lot of fun with the resorts.
How would you like to be on that ladder up there fixing those windows?
No, thanks. I don't even like getting up to clean the gutters. I don't think I'd like to be up that high. No way.
If it keeps raining like this, I won't have to clean the gutters. That's the good news here in Bloomington. Eric Spoonmore is our guest. He is the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, and he joins us every other Monday. We always have tons of things to do, but this Monday is unlike any other Monday because, well, kids are coming back to Bloomington. Indiana University is going to have their doors open before we know it. Move-in week goes on this week. RBB goes back to school. MCC went back. Well, these are busy times, but we're going to see definitely a swell in traffic, a swell in population, and we'll have a million great things going on. It's an exciting time of year, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. This is always one of my favorite times of year. As an IU alumnus myself, you know, it's always so great to see the students coming back and ushering in new change and everything that happens with that in our businesses. I know we're ready to get back into the swing of things with the students in town, so should be a lot of fun. You know, we've got IU football game starting up here. They're going to have a tough first contest of the year in early September when the Buckeyes come to town. But, boy, we sure love when those crowds come into Bloomington. It's great for business, and it just really helps the vibrancy and energizes the whole community. So we want to roll out the red carpet for all the folks from Ohio who will be coming in to visit and show them that Bloomington's a great place to be. It's a great place to visit. So looking forward to all of that.
And all the people who bring all their children and all of the furniture and everything else, well, just take a deep breath. We welcome you. Welcome you as well. We know you don't stay as long, perhaps. Oh, it's raining again. There we go. But it is a fun time to do it. Now, you've been busy. You are always busy. There is no off season in business or in your business. You're cutting ribbons all over the place. Again, I'll let you get into that where you've been. But you have a really large event for your members tomorrow, and that's important. It's important for a couple reasons. Why? It's great to get everybody together. It's great to get everybody together at our Shreve Hall at Ivy Tech, and you have one of the most powerful politicians in Indiana coming to town.
Yeah, so and well, we actually have two big events this week. We've got the Bloomington Women in Leadership Inspire event that'll be taking place tomorrow at the Fountain Square Ballroom downtown. We've got about 100 folks registered to attend that, and the Be Will program's really taken off, so that'll be a lot of fun to get back together with the Bloomington Women in Leadership program. And then on Wednesday, we will have Senator Todd Young in town, and very excited to host him. He'll be joining us out at Ivy Tech Shreve Hall. Doors open at 11 o'clock. And, of course, thanks to all of our great sponsors and IU and Cook for all of their help and support with putting these great programs on for us. So we're really looking forward to hearing what Senator Young has to say. We're going into a really important election year in 2024, so it'll be good to get his insights on that, as well as some of his thoughts on the CHIPS Act that he helped draft the legislation for, and all of the initiatives that are going on with Crane right now, and how that ties into the Bloomington community and the research being done at Indiana University and in Indianapolis as well, too. So lots of important topics that Senator Young's going to be discussing that impact us right here in Bloomington. So it'll be great to hear from him for sure.
The all-you-can-ask buffet with the ladies of resilience on Tuesday and the federal focus on Wednesday. When you talk to Senator Young, do you have it moderated? Do people have a chance to ask questions? How does that work if people are wondering?
Yeah, so we're going to have Senator Young will do about 20 minutes of remarks, 15, 20 minutes or so. And then what's really special about this program, I think, is that it'll be moderated by Cook Medical leader Pete Yonkman, who's one of the most recognized business leaders in the state of Indiana, but, you know, especially here in Bloomington, Monroe County, a very influential voice. And so we're just delighted that he's able to be there on stage with Senator Young asking some of the questions and moderating the discussion. So this will be a very high-impact event, and it's something that, you know, we're really proud that we can bring to our members where they can hear directly from the highest levels of leadership in the United States government, as well as some of the most influential business leaders in the state that are here right here in Bloomington. So we'll also have a lot of our leaders from Indiana University, Vice President of University Relations, Michael Huber, will be providing some remarks at the event as well, too. So, as you know, he was the former President CEO of the Indy Chamber before he joined Indiana University last year. So it's been great to get to know him, and he's been very busy and active with all of the initiatives that IU's got underway as well.
Eric Spoonmore is our guest this afternoon. He is the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. And, well, that's not all you do, buddy. You're also on the Big Capital Improvement Board. Where does everything stand with that process moving forward? Did we see the city put up either a link or somewhere where you can register or apply to be one of their Capital Improvement Board members? I don't know how any of this works. This is why I'm so happy to talk to you every other week.
Right. Well, you know, the Capital Improvement Board was created formally by the Monroe County Commissioners. It's the county commissioners who have that authority under state law to create capital improvement boards, and there's lots of different communities around the state that do this. And what this board is going to enable us to do here is have a great partnership between the city and the county for expanding our convention center project. Now, this has been a huge goal of the chambers for many, many years. As you know, we've been collecting a food and beverage tax since 2017, about $16, $17 million worth of revenue collected. Haven't had any real progress on the expansion yet, but I'm very pleased that that's about to change soon with this Capital Improvement Board. So the commissioners took the first step with that. I was very honored to be appointed as the county council's appointment on the Capital Improvement Board, and then the commissioners, they've got two appointments. They appointed John Weikart and Joyce Poling, two names that are very familiar to folks in the community. They've been leaders and served in various roles here in the community and have been involved with the Convention Center for years and years. And then the city gets three appointments, so the city council will get one and the mayor gets two appointments. I know the city council is actively interviewing candidates who are interested in serving on the Capital Improvement Board, so they've got a process in place where folks can apply and they are receiving those applications, reviewing them, and interviewing folks. And they had indicated at their last meeting last week at the City Council that they would like to have their appointment made to the Capital Improvement Board by September 6th. So we've got a timeline on that. I was talking to the mayor last week and asked him when his appointments will be made, and didn't seems like that is not known yet by the mayor. So we'll continue to encourage them to.
How many appointments does the mayor have?
So the mayor gets two. Okay. The mayor gets two appointments, just like the county commissioners get two appointments. And so once we get all of those six individuals in place, it'll be those six folks then will determine who the seventh member of the cabinet.
And this all has to fall in with party lines as well, or an even split as even can be?
Yeah, you can't have any more than four folks from one political party serving on the Capital Improvement Board. So the commissioners get a Republican and a Democrat appointment. The mayor gets a Republican and a Democrat appointment. And then the ordinance doesn't say how the county council or the city council, what political background their appointments have to be from.
Interesting. Mayor Hamilton will join me tomorrow in his normal spot after 4:05. We will ask him his timeline on when those appointments will be. Would you just suspect it would be lockstep in with the council in that same September 6th range, right after Labor Day weekend?
Well, we would.
Or do you need it to be earlier? Does it matter?
I don't know that it necessarily matters. I think, for, people who really want to see progress on this project, the sooner the better, so that the Capital Improvement Board can, meet and start getting these discussions underway. Now, one thing to kind of keep in mind is that, the commissioner's appointments, the way the ordinance is written, the commissioner's appointments and the mayor's appointments will expire on January 15th of 2024. So at that point, they would have to be reappointed. Of course, we're going to have a new mayor.
Right. That was going to be my question. That kind of makes sense. So this hurry up and get this done just to hurry up and change it.
Right. So, it kind of remains to be seen. Hopefully people are all kind of working together and talking about what makes best sense for the community and how can we get, the right people with all the great objectives in mind that we have for this project in place as soon as possible, so that we can get these conversations underway and start being accomplishing some goals here.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about raising the money though. That's the good. We got that laying around already. That's
the hard part. Yeah, that's the hard part.
I saw today that over the weekend or today or whatever, the Indianapolis is going to go on with the Pan Am Center renovation building. They're going to put an $800 room Hilton Hotel down there and expand their convention center. Now, I know it's a little apples and orangey. There's a reason people go to Indianapolis, because they have more stuff. But, you want to get in on that business.
That's right. And, you want to bring people into your community. We know that, when visitors come to town, they spend their dollars here, they support our local businesses. It's that kind of support that generates jobs and, allows entrepreneurs to start new initiatives. And, that's all great for economic development. So that's what we really want to see, is just a healthy, long-term, sustainable future for our local and regional economy, and an expanded convention center is a big part of that. It's not the only part, but it's one big component that we can put into place that will have a big impact for us.
Where's the Chamber of Bloomington's business after hours this month? We know that's a big part of the calendar as well.
Yeah, Thursday, August 24th, our great friends and partners at Building Associates, and these folks, they know how to have a good chamber celebration. So I would highly recommend any chamber members who haven't been to after hours in a while, come on out to this one. It's going to be spectacular. And one of the other fun aspects about this, too, is one of the great local businesses here in our community, Master Rental Centers. They've just expanded into a brand new facility that was constructed by Building Associates. In fact, it's right across the street on Jonathan Avenue from Building Associates, and we're going to be doing a ribbon cutting there before the business after hours. So you'll be able to be at one party and go right across the street to the next one. So it'll be a fun time, and we're really excited for both of those companies, and really appreciate everything that they do for the chamber and for the community.
And speaking of all the things that go on in our community as well, we haven't spoken a couple of weeks since I have talked to you last. The city's community survey has come out, and it appears that there are some things that caught your eye there. I don't know how in-depth you want to get into that today, but I know you have some thoughts on it.
Well, I think, you know, and I'm glad that the city does these community surveys, and I would I would encourage your listeners to go to the city's website and view the results of the survey. You know, one of the things that the chamber is always keeping an eye on and is very concerned about is public safety. And we saw some real concerns that were substantiated through the community survey about, you know, people feeling safe in our downtown area. And so we think that, you know, those results can be used by local officials and decision makers to put policies in place that, you know, can be beneficial and, you know, help us achieve some goals here, especially with public safety. And we just hope that the local leaders will, you know, take all of that feedback seriously and make public safety a real priority, especially as we're going into the budget season. This is a time of year where city and county officials are designing or formulating their budgets for the next year. And the budget is really the primary policy document for the city. And so that's what outlines all of the priorities. And they can take a real, I think, positive step here by prioritizing public safety through the budget and the resources that we provide to those particular services.
Sixth grader, what's going on over there?
You're talking about school getting started.
Oh, I'm talking about school getting started. My goodness.
Yeah.
Sixth grade, time sixth flies. Grade,
you know what? She's got a locker now. it is something else, and she's having a blast, and you know, it's just amazing how quick time flies when you're having fun.
It does, and it flies when we have fun every other Monday on our program as well when you join us. Thank you for your time. Have a great Tuesday with the Women's Leadership Group and a great Wednesday at Shreve Hall. Well, we'll have a lot to catch up on when we get back on the 21st, my friend, including that'll be the first day of school for Ivy Tech and IU Bloomington.
That's right.
You think anything will go on between now and then, pal?
You can bet there will be.
Oh, I'm sweating already.
To cover it with you.
Oh, excellent, Eric. I always appreciate your time and your insight. It's fantastic, and we'll look forward to it in 2 weeks, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Talk to you soon.
That's Eric Spoonmore from the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. He is the president and CEO and a Reds fan as well. So we got to get these Reds turned around. Rod Holloway tried it Friday. I tried it yesterday. I haven't had a chance through my great friends to meet the owner of the Cincinnati Reds, Bob Castellini, and his lovely wife and their lovely family. I also had a chance to speak with Nick Kroll, the general manager, for about 3 or 4 minutes. So they said you get one question. You think I stood there and took one question? No way. No way. I got in as many as they could before they had to pull me out of there kicking and screaming. Nick Kroll was nothing short of a gentleman. And he is a baseball junkie, and that's the best thing I can report. We're having a conversation about Andrew Abbott, and over the shoulder, or over my shoulder, I'm standing side next to him. Is the monitor, and when the game is going on, and he is living and dying with every pitch, every pop fly, every line drive, every throw down to second, throw the guy out at home. it's their lives, it's their jobs. And it was a really, really interesting look behind the curtain yesterday. We'll talk more about that as the hours roll on today and tomorrow. Big thanks again to my friends Luke and Audrey for making that happen. We had an incredible time. And if you follow on Facebook, you can see some of the pictures from the great American Ballpark. And it is one of my favorite places. My first Reds loss of the year. I feel terrible. That is my fault. I walked in there thinking, hey, this will be no problem. You know what happened yesterday? They brought up a rookie. And you say, well, Glass, they've been bringing up rookies all year long. Right. They have. Lyon Richardson. I'm walking to my seat. I'm getting ready to sit down. First pitch out of his hand, over the right field fence, home run. As the Nationals are trotting around the base, the National, I guess at the time, it's a leadoff hitter. First pitch of the day. Everybody's trying to get there. What was that? Where'd it go? Really? That's gone? Home run? Next pitch. Home run. Dead center. Other than that, how was, well, and I didn't have a terrible feeling. I said, okay, he's a young kid. Get that out of your way. Go throw up on your shoes. Let's get out of here. The Reds hit two home runs Friday night to start things off and led 2-0. And Washington came back, so surely the Reds could come back. Well, the Reds tried to come back. They didn't. They returned to the airwaves tonight. We will get you their lineup. Next hour, we'll talk to Rod Holloway, who was in the building on Friday, had a birthday, close up the market. We're busy.